Not far away, Robert Campbell stood watching them. He wore his unfamiliar captain's uniform with a certain stiffness. The high mortality rate in the Imperial Navy had meant sudden and rapid promotion for the few worthy survivors, and Robert wasn't used to his new position yet. He'd expected another 10, maybe 15 years of service before he got a shot at a captaincy, and now here he was, one of the youngest men ever to make captain. He felt somewhat like a pretender, and kept expecting someone to burst in and say it was all a ghastly mistake, and would he please return the uniform at once, because the real captain was waiting for it. He smiled slightly at the thought. A tall, handsome man with steady eyes and close-cropped hair. Both hair and face had been burned away in the fires that swept the bridge of the besieged Endurance. He'd gotten away in an escape pod, but it had taken long sessions in a regeneration tank to undo the damage to his face, and his hair was only now starting to grow back again. He thought the new look made him appear older, more responsible, and he'd take every bit of help he could get. His new command was the Elemental, one of the few E-class star cruisers to survive the rebellion, and he was eager to take official charge of her and see what she could do. But as the Campbell and head of his clan, he was obliged to spend a certain amount of time on Golgotha, looking out for his family's interests first. And that meant hobnobbing with the right people at Parliament, making the necessary deals and connections to ensure his people wouldn't be bothered or harassed while he was away on duty aboard his ship. One day he'd have to make the choice between his family's needs and his military career, but that was one day. His cousin Finley was actually looking quite civilized now that Evangeline had arrived to calm him down. Robert wondered why Finley had bothered with his new finery. The man was quite clearly a stone-cold killer, and would always look like one, no matter how he was dressed. One day, that man was going to run wild, and even Evangeline wouldn't be able to stop him. And as the Campbell and head of the clan, Robert was going to have to decide what to do about that, whether or not he should take steps. He sighed gently and shook his head. The military life was a fine training, where many things were concerned, but no help at all when it came to dealing with wild cards like Finley Campbell. Suddenly there was a presence at his side.
Don't worry about Finley, boy. Better men than you have tried to deal with him, and they're all dead and cold in their graves while that bastard goes untouched. There is no God.
Robert turned and smiled at Adrienne Campbell.
Then why did you marry him?
It was an arranged marriage, as well you know. My father arranged it. He never liked me. I'd divorce Finley in a moment if it wasn't for the children. I don't suppose you could arrange a nice quiet assassination for me, could you, dear? It would solve so many problems.
Don't tempt me. Besides, who could we send against him? Owen Deathstalker? Kid Death?
I wish. No, let him live. If only because his death would upset Evangeline so much. I'm very fond of Evangeline, except for her appalling taste in men.
They grinned at each other. Adrienne Campbell had a sharp, fiercely determined face under a mop of curly golden hair that was the only angelic thing about her. Regarded by all as the most ferocious intriguer on the current political scene and the most dangerous, Adrienne had few real friends and so many enemies there was a waiting list. Hard-working, frighteningly intelligent, and too damned honest for her own good, Parliament had had to put a time limit on her speeches so anyone else could get a word in edgeways. While not actually elected to any official position, Adrienne represented a number of highly influential pressure groups and could be relied on to have an acerbic opinion about absolutely anything. Adrienne had taken to the new politics like a duck to water. Years of society scheming and backbiting did that to one.
So, how are you settling in as captain?
Slow, but steady. It helps that the crew are familiar with my record, and know I earned my position through my abilities rather than my sudden fame. Gaining their acceptance will take time, but I think I'm winning them round. It's been quite a jump from navigation officer to captain, but it's not as though I'm taking anyone else's place. The fleet's desperately short of experienced officers. If only we were short of enemies.
Now don't you start. I hear that every day in Parliament. I know the aliens are still out there, and Shub, and let's not forget the bloody Haydenman. But there just isn't the money or the resources at present to build the fleet up to what it used to be. The factories are running 24-hour shifts just to produce the ships we need to keep supplies moving between worlds. And starving people now have to take precedence over possible future threats. The rebellion was long past necessary, but sometimes I can't help thinking we could have timed it better. A lot of people died during the fighting, but millions more will die before we're finished rebuilding.
It's the birth of a new order, and birth is always painful.
Don't you quote propaganda to me, boy. I helped write most of it. Oh, hell, look who's coming over, as if I didn't have enough problems.
Robert looked around and hid a wince as he saw Finley and Evangeline approaching. Evangeline looked friendly, and Finley was doing his best.
Still, you and he should meet, Robert. I know you don't care much for each other, but you are family. That still means something, even in these confused days.
He ran away from the family to join the rebels when the clan needed him the most, leaving me to take over as the Campbell, a privilege I never expected and for which I had no experience.
He had no choice. He had to follow his heart and go where Evangeline went. I can't believe I'm actually defending him, even if he did save my life once. Look, he never wanted to be the Campbell. He knew he'd make a mess of it. You were much better suited to the job. You've kept the family alive when Finley would have had them go down with all guns blazing. Accept what happened and move on. Try and mend some fences. These days, we all of us need all the friends we can get.
The four came together in a small space that seemed to open up around them. Those in the vicinity recognized a potential flashpoint when they saw one forming, and preferred to put a little distance between themselves and whatever unpleasantness might occur. If only so they wouldn't get blood on their best clothes. Evangeline and Adrienne greeted each other cheerfully, with much clasping of hands and kissing of cheeks. They were old friends and allies. Adrienne had never begrudged Finley his mistresses, not as long as he continued to turn a blind eye to her many amours, and had been delighted when he finally chose someone she could approve of. The two women had developed strong links during their shared time in the underground, and discussed Finley scandalously behind his back. Finley and Robert nodded formally to each other, faces impassive, and then Finley abruptly stuck out his hand. Robert shook it, after a moment's surprise, and the two men relaxed slightly. They stood a bit apart while the ladies had their own conversation.
Congratulations on your new command. First Campbell to make captain in 300 years.
I'll do my best to do the family honor. You're looking very sharp, Finley.
You want to play with the big boys, you have to dress the part. It's been a while since I fought with pointed words and barbed bon mot rather than steel, but I think I'm getting the hang of it again. We've been too distant, Robert. Friends and allies come and go. Family is forever.
You're the one who never had much time for the family.
I'm trying to change that.
Robert looked into Finley's steady gaze, and then nodded slightly.
You were the one who kept a distance, and I was too busy holding the family together and serving in the military to search you out.
I know that. I'm grateful for what you've done. But I had my own problems, and they kept us apart. Nothing to do with you, or your being the Campbell. We were on opposite sides during the rebellion, but that's all over now. We need to stand together, or our enemies will drag us down.
And what enemies might we have in common, exactly?
People like Blue Block, maybe. People who want to turn the clock back, make things the way they used to be. You've no reason to love the old order. You've suffered under it more than most. Blue Block stood by and did nothing to stop the wolves when they butchered our clan.
And my Letitia died on what should have been our wedding day, murdered by the Shrek in the name of family honor. Well, you looked on and didn't try to stop him.
I was wrong. I still believed in the families then, and the honor I thought held us together. I had to learn the hard way. I didn't fight and bleed in the rebellion just to see the families take control again behind a different mask. I'll do whatever I have to stop them. Can I count on you to help? Parliament may not be much, but it's the only hope we have.
I never thought of you as a politician, somehow.
It's the new battlefield. And I had to learn a new form of fighting or die of boredom. So, will you stand with me?
I'll think about it. And we'll talk further. See if we have as much in common as you think. If we do, I think I'd be proud to have the legendary warrior Finley Campbell at my side.
Same here.
Finley smiled for the first time. They shook hands again.
God help us, they'll be bonding next. Getting drunk in disreputable bars and telling each other those jokes that only men think are funny.
I think it's sweet. We all need friends.
Hello, Adrienne. You're looking very... you.
I suppose that's the nearest you'll ever get to a compliment. I see you're still using the same tailor. Did I hear he's got himself a new guide dog?
You're so sharp, you'll cut yourself one of these days. You and Evangeline have had a good gossip, have you?
I hear you're trying to get into mainstream politics, Finley. One word of advice? Don't. They'll eat you alive. You're way out of touch with the way things are now, and frankly, you never were that hot, even when you were in the thick of things. I've no doubt you mean well, but the last thing we need is another enthusiastic amateur, especially someone with your temper. You can't kill your opponent just because you're losing the debate. They have laws against that sort of thing now. Though admittedly, that might add a little excitement to the budget debates. Look, Finley, I know you, though I often wish I didn't. You're too soft-hearted for politics. It would mean too much to you. You couldn't bear to lose one argument so you could win another later. You get out of hand in this business, and I won't be able to save you. Nor will anyone else, for all your great exploits in the rebellion. Heroes are 10 a penny these days.
You're sounding very you as well, Addie. One of these days you'll say something nice to me and I may faint from the shock. I survived everything the Empire could throw at me and the horrors of Hekeldemar. I think I can handle a few politicians. Don't worry. If I have to kill anyone, I'll be sure and do it when no one's looking.
That's his idea of being diplomatic.
In the meantime, I want to see our children.
Finley, you've never wanted to see the children. Not even when they were born. I have to remind you to send them birthday presents. They only know what you look like from watching The Hollows. And where the hell were you when Gregor Schrick was threatening to have them killed to get at you? Give me one good reason why I should let you anywhere near them.
I've been feeling my mortality lately. When I'm gone, all that will be left will be my reputation and my children. I look at what the news people and the docudramas have made of my past, and I don't recognize myself at all. That just leaves my children. And I'd like them, at least, to have some idea of who I really was. I know I've done questionable things, but I always thought I had a good reason for what I did. In the past, I was busy living two lives at once, and I told myself there was no room for children in either of them. They would only have got hurt. Besides, I didn't know what to do with children. I'm not sure I do now. But I'd like to try to get to know them now, if they'd like to see me.
Adrienne was taken aback for a moment. In all their years of marriage, she'd never heard Finley open up like that before.
I'll ask them. But it's up to them. I won't say a word one way or another.
That's all I ask.
The four of them talked a little more, but didn't really say anything. They'd taken care of all their business. Eventually, Adrienne and Robert made their excuses and moved off into the crowd, and Finley and Evangeline were left together.
We've never talked about children. Given the lives we were leading during the rebellion, it just wasn't possible. We were always racing off into danger and sudden death, never knowing for sure whether we'd live to see tomorrow. And afterwards, you never raised the subject.
I've been thinking about a lot of things I never did before. I never wanted children with Adrienne, but my father required it for the family. Things are different now.
Evangeline looked away from him.
I couldn't bring myself to mention it. I was always afraid you never said anything because I was just a clone. You're an aristocrat, but I'm not. Not really. I was made, manufactured to replace a murdered Shrek daughter. Some would say I'm not really human. And even in our marvelous new order, the marriage of an aristocrat and a clone would be a scandal. Their children an outrage, if anyone found out.
You're more human than anyone I've ever known. You're worth 100 of them, 1,000.
He took her in his arms, and she sank into his embrace, her face pressed against his shoulder so he wouldn't see the tears in her eyes. He knew they were there anyway, but carried on as though he didn't, his voice carefully steady.
I can't marry you, Evangeline. Not because you're a clone, but because divorcing Adrienne would distance me from people I need to be close to. Politics in our circles are still largely dictated by old family connections, and my position is precarious enough as it is. But you are my love, my life, the only woman I've ever cared for. Of course we can have children, if that's what you want. People will make allowances, they always have. And by the time our children are grown, hopefully this kind of nonsense won't matter anymore, and you will be my wife in name as well as fact.
Evangeline hugged him so tightly she thought she must be hurting him, but he never said anything. When she was sure her eyes were dry, she let go of him and stepped back. They smiled at each other, and all the love in the world glowed from their eyes. Then someone came and called Finley away on urgent business, and Evangeline was alone again. She watched him go with a brave smile on her face, but inside, her thoughts were churning furiously. Before she could even think of starting a family with Finley, there was a lot she had to sort out in her own life. Most of it, Finley didn't know about, and must never know. Finley knew Evangeline had been cloned from a dead original, but he didn't know why. Gregor Schreck had loved his Evangeline as a man, rather than as a father, and had finally murdered her in a fit of rage when she tried to run away. To cover up his crime and have his daughter in his bed again, Gregor had the clone made in strictest secrecy, and she became the Evangeline that Finley came to know and love. He rescued her from her father and helped her make a new life of her own. But he never knew just what he had rescued her from, and Evangeline could never tell him. If he ever found out, he would go mad with rage and horror at what had been done to her, and he would murder Gregor, not giving a damn for the consequences. She couldn't let him do that. She wanted Gregor dead, wanted it with a deep, despairing sickness of heart for the endless rapes and humiliation she had endured, for making her feel like a thing, his property, to do with as he wished. But Finley must never know. It would hurt him so much. And perhaps also, deep down, she feared he'd never feel the same way about her again, once he knew the truth. Besides, Gregor Schreck was a powerful and dangerous man, even if he had fallen from favor just lately. He surrounded himself with an army of private guards, and even Finley Campbell couldn't take on a whole army single-handed. She couldn't risk losing him. Not now, not after they'd gone through so much to get here. Secrets. So many secrets between two people. And there was more. Before Gregor retreated into his family tower, disappearing behind his mini-militia and enough corrupt influence to keep even Parliament's hounds at bay, he'd contacted Evangeline to let her know he'd taken her best friend, Penny DiCarlo, as his prisoner. And that dear Penny would die in horrible agony if Evangeline didn't return to him. Finley didn't know about that either. She hadn't told him. If she did, once again he'd go rushing off to be the hero for her sake and get himself killed. It was her problem. She'd deal with it. So far, she'd kept Gregor at bay with the aid of various stratagems, but they'd mostly run out now. Soon she would have to find a way to rescue Penny that didn't involve Finley, or go back to Gregor and hope to sort out some kind of deal. Either approach had its dangers, but her time in the rebellion had hardened Evangeline, despite herself. She was no longer the weak, helpless victim that Gregor remembered, and maybe, just maybe, that was a weapon she could use against him.